And again, contractors will often say, well, what if we only do 5% retainage? How about if we pay early completing subs in full, if we get full lien releases from them? And all that makes sense on an economics and a business standpoint, but owners need to be advised that if they do that, then they're going to have to be particularly careful in minding their nickels and dimes and getting lien releases as the project goes on. Because what happens is if they don't hold the full amount for 30 days after final completion, they get exposed to additional lien claim liability. And the case law is fairly straightforward on this. Nothing's really going to change under the new amendments in terms of this 30-day safe harbor that goes away, essentially, if they don't retain the claims, the 10% retainage, that is. So a scenario that develops outside of sort of the usual ideal situation where the contractor finishes, everything's hunky-dory, and you just have to make sure that no claims come in late. Every now and then, a contractor gets in trouble and goes into default, and either the owner has to terminate that contractor or supplement the contractor's work. And so when this happens, there may be no more funds that are due to be paid to the general contractor. And so what happens is the retainage fund is really ends up being the only available money to pay claims, because you can't trap funds with these fund trapping letters if there are no more funds due to the contractor to be paid. So in that scenario, sometimes it's tempting for the owners to start paying liens as they come in full out of retainage. And that can present a problem, because at the end of the day, the owner's liability is limited to retainage unless they have paid out more than they should have. And if it ends up in a situation where the total of the claims exceed the amount of retainage, then the owner's entitled and in fact required to pay these claimants on a pro rata basis. So owners need to be careful about paying early claimants in full, because it might develop that they're entitled to pro rata pay these claims, and in a worst case scenario, simply tender the retainage fund to a court and have the court sort it out. But once they do that, then they're off the hook and the liens are discharged if the full retainage has been withheld and if it's tendered to a court in satisfaction of all the lien claims that are out there that are perfected. Owners should be cautioned against using retained funds to complete the work when a contractor goes into default. It's tempting for an owner when these lien claims come in to say, well, there just isn't any money because we had to pay all the contract balance plus more to complete the work because of the contractor's default. That is essentially the same as not retaining the required amount, and that owner is likely to be liable for the amount that it should have retained in addition to the amounts that it's paid to complete the contractor's work. So I mentioned fund trapping a couple of times. When the owner gets a statutory fund trapping letter, it's recognizable because to be enforceable and to work to perfect a lien, it has to say if this claim is not paid or otherwise settled, you may be personally liable and your property subject to a lien. That's the magic language that these fund trapping letters have to have. And even though under the amendment we now have forms for these fund trapping letters, the magic language is still there. So you'll need to be aware of what those fund trapping letters look like. And it means what it says. If the owners pay out monies to the contractor and do not retain the trapped funds from a timely fund trapping letter, then again, owner's going to have to pay twice and could be personally liable for those payments not withheld. Of course, a fund trapping letter has to be followed by an actual lien affidavit filed with the county records to actually result in liability to the owner. So just because the owner's got a fund trapping letter doesn't automatically mean they have to pay. But if the claimant proceeds with filing their lien affidavit in a timely manner, then that liability is going to be triggered. So in some instances, an owner may want to wait until the lien liability, the lien filing deadlines have passed in order to make a decision about whether to release money to that claimant or not. One of the things that often trips up sophisticated owners and developers is the desire to have an in-house contractor complete the work. Folks that deal a lot with developer clients are probably familiar with this scenario. They get a corporation, and that corporation will have within its control a captive contractor. But be aware that when you do this, there is a portion of the property code in Chapter 53 that says if the owner can effectively control or direct the contractor through interlocking ownership, stock, et cetera, then that contractor becomes what the current statute calls a sham contractor, and under the amendments is going to be called a purported contractor. Regardless of the label, the result is the same. Under that scenario,